Hello, everyone. I hope we're not taking away from lunchtime, or hopefully folks have. This is a challenging time, I think, always of the day when folks have either eaten and they're kind of, you know, ready to snooze off, or they're waiting to grab their lunch. But hopefully, I'll get started, and if Dr. Troutman walks in, then maybe we can have him go after me. So our focus, and the focus of my talk today, is to go over some of the work that Dr. Andrulis, myself, and our team have been doing at the Texas Health Institute, addressing and looking at the Affordable Care Act from a health equity and disparities lens. We've been monitoring over about 60 provisions in the Affordable Care Act that either explicitly include language around race, culture, diversity, disparities, or by their very nature have great implications and relevance for addressing disparities. And so we've been addressing these provisions across five key areas of priority. And the first being health insurance marketplace. There's several provisions, as you know, related to assuring cultural and linguistic appropriateness of information, of engagement, of materials that come forth, non-discrimination, and so forth that we're tracking. The second area is the healthcare safety net. And within this, we've been monitoring Medicaid expansion, CHIP reauthorization, health centers, and other safety net related provisions. Then there's the healthcare workforce. We've been monitoring a lot of the provisions around workforce diversity, cultural competence training, the National Healthcare Workforce Commission, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. The considerable support that has come forth around expanding the primary care workforce. The fourth area around public health and prevention, and then the final around research quality and innovation. All of these areas that we're monitoring are actually part of a broader initiative known as the Affordable Care Act and Racial Ethnic Health Equity Series that was supported by the California Endowment, by Kellogg Foundation, and Kaiser Permanente. And we've been monitoring these provisions for about 2 years now. Early on this year, in March, we released our first report around the exchanges. The next two reports on the safety net workforce diversity came out this summer, and we're actually releasing the final draft of the public health report right now at APHA today, and then with a final that will be published in the next week or so. And so all these materials, I have some copies available here for those interested. They're also available at the Texas Health Institute website, and then we've also, at the end of the talk, I'll provide my contact information as well for those interested. So what has been the progress of these provisions over the past three plus years? There's some important things that come forth, some findings that come forth from this slide. I think one of the things that's interesting to see is where has the focus of the ACA's the equity focus been? What is that area that really addresses equity? And it's really in context of workforce diversity. There are 19 provisions that we're monitoring that we know really explicitly address diversity, equity, cultural competency. And then, of course, there are other areas as well. In terms of progress, what we're finding is that about half of these provisions that we've been monitoring have really moved forward, have either been fully implemented in terms of funding, they've received full appropriations or near full appropriations, or if no appropriations are tied to some of these provisions, we know that federal guidance has come forth, task forces have been established. So about half of these provisions have really moved forward and progressed. That's the great news. The not so good news, unfortunately, is that half of the provisions either received no funding, no appropriation, have seen no progress in terms of any guidance or moving forward. Or if they have, they've seen very minimal come through, almost, you know, to where stability is the question of many of these, sustainability for these programs. And in some cases, some of these programs have actually been declining in support. And so we'll go through some of that. But this is just to give you a collective sense of where we're going, how far we've come to addressing equity through the ACA. And so that slide will now kind of be the foundation for the next few slides, where I'll go through some details around progress. Many of you, I'm sure, already know and have seen the statistics that are coming around that say that a large proportion of those enrolling through the health insurance marketplaces will be individuals of color, will be racially and ethnically diverse, about 42% or 12 million nationally. And one-fourth will speak a language other than English at home. And the important fact here is that it's not just nationally that the proportion is high. In certain states, these proportions are even higher. Whether we talk about California, where two-thirds of those coming through the exchanges will be racially and ethnically diverse, or in Texas as well, or Florida. Many of these states, we know, we're talking about a very large population that needs to be reached that will be racially, ethnically, and linguistically diverse. So how are marketplaces addressing disparities? This was one of the questions that our very first report that we released in March intended to really look into and address. We conducted case studies of 7 state-based exchanges, because at that time, about a year ago, state-based exchanges were really the ones progressing and moving along. And they were really the only ones who had started to even consider the question of addressing racial and ethnic diversity. And so what we found, and these states were California, Colorado, Connecticut, Oregon, Maryland, and Washington, as well as New York. And so what we found in through these case studies was that there are 4 really areas of priority, or building blocks, if you will, where equity is being integrated. Governance and leadership is the first area, where several of the exchanges progressing and addressing equity are really building it in from the get-go. Now, not all exchanges and marketplaces are doing this, but the ones that are moving ahead are. They're assuring that their mission, their vision, that their board, their staff are reflective of this priority. In planning and design, several of the exchanges that we've been looking into are assuring that community engagement and diverse community engagement, tribal consultation, even cultural competency education and training for navigators are a part of this. It doesn't mean that they're there, but that it's a part of that planning process. Getting there is a whole other question, because as we're seeing, a lot of the focus is around the technological, around the technical aspects of the exchanges. Outreach and enrollment. Several of the exchanges also talked about actions that they're taking to assure that outreach and enrollment is really tailored to diverse communities. This idea of transcreation came forth, where now that we're not only translating materials, but assuring that the messages that are being put out are tailored in a cultural context, that the concepts have cultural appropriateness and validity within different communities, and not just being translations. Assuring the use and working with bilingual diverse navigators. Translated websites is an area, you know, certain states are really moving ahead, but the stats are showing there are very few operational translated websites, even in Spanish. So that's an ongoing challenge, but an area certainly that these marketplaces are looking into. And then evaluation, where many states, while they may not be there, but they're talking about assuring that we're able to monitor our outreach for different diverse communities, assuring that we're reaching them, what's working, what's not working, measuring enrollment, measuring satisfaction, and so forth. So complementing, obviously, the insurance exchanges and marketplaces is the Medicaid expansion. And again, I'm sure many of you are familiar with these data, where 45% of new Medicaid eligible will be racially and ethnically diverse, so non-white, from non-white racial and ethnic groups. And so that's about 6.8 million if all states expand Medicaid, which obviously is not happening. About 29, I believe it keeps changing, but about 29 states are moving toward expansion. And of these states, we know that they will enfranchise about 3.8 million non-whites. Unfortunately, in states not expanding, we're talking about over a couple million who will lose out from this expansion. And then, of course, there are state variations as well. States with large minority populations, unfortunately, are being disproportionately impacted. So we know there will be this great influx of new insured patients, generally speaking, but also among racially and ethnically diverse communities. Well, as we all know, the ACA built in within it provisions and actions to assure that capacity is ramped up to serve these new patients. And so what this slide does is, and what our intent here is, to focus on five areas that we know are progressing in addressing the influx of new diverse patients that will come in. We know, for example, that the ACA, there's been implementation funding coming through and progress in ramping up the primary care workforce. Is it enough? No. We know studies show that we will still have a shortage of providers. But certainly this is an area that the ACA is moving forward on. Minority health professions is an area that we see somewhat support, and Dr. Andrulis will get into some specific challenges around that. But it is still an area that we're seeing mandatory funding coming through for this priority, and we're also seeing other kinds of support. There's also been an enhancement in capacity in underserved areas, and what we mean by that is continued support for the National Health Service CORE program. Continued support as well for the, there's also been the redistribution, for example, of unused residency slots to underserved health professional shortage areas. And so there's support in that sense as well for ramping up the capacity. Health centers, of course, we know that there were some hiccups and there were some discretionary funding setbacks for health centers, but nonetheless, the ACA has moved that forward. There has been an expansion and support coming through for health centers. And then, of course, a lot of investment in payment and delivery innovations, many of which are addressing and reaching out to racially and ethnically diverse communities. And finally, an important part of ramping up that capacity is our safety net. And our second report on the safety net really gets at and portrays the reality that is facing these safety net providers. They are standing at a crossroads where they realize and they know that they will be seeing more insured patients. They will be getting that revenue from the insured patients. But at the same time, competition for these patients will ramp up. And so what does that mean for safety net providers at various levels of readiness, financially speaking, infrastructurally speaking. We know the reality of declining funding, the disproportionate share hospital payments that will decline over the years as ACA implementation and the number of insured goes up. At the same time, we know that these providers will continue to be the main providers for the uninsured, for the undocumented. And then what about the questions also that are facing these providers is the insurance volatility, that as individuals' incomes fluctuate, they're going to be moving. One day they may be eligible for Medicaid. Another month it may be the exchanges, or maybe not any kind of coverage whatsoever. So what does that, how does that volatility, and what we hear from a lot of these providers is that it's a challenge administratively, and for continuity of care purposes as well. And then finally, another role that these safety net providers are faced with that they're really working toward is that outreach and education role now that many providers played, but now is a significantly more important role moving forward. And so with that, Dr. Andrulis will get into now some of the challenges that are we're facing and to realizing the equity provisions of the health care law.
So I think the last slides that that Nadia put up are, it was kind of hard to stay away from the challenges because there's no clear, no clear victory so far. It's either a work in progressive motion or there are issues and challenges that just by their nature are emerging from the attempted rollout of so many of these equity provisions. So let me spend just a few minutes on the challenges and then moving forward, what are some of the issues for the future. As mentioned, as Nadia summed up, more than half the provisions received substantially less than authorized or no funding. And then there's declining support, as much emphasis as there is on the health professions. There's declining support for many of the health professions' provisions. The leading or somewhat innovative, more innovative programs like the Health Career Opportunities Program, which is pipeline, vital pipeline support, has seen some money, but it's diminished, and now going into 2014, it's about to go to zero. The same thing with Centers of Excellence as a program that has not nearly received the funding that was intended. Minority health initiatives generally have not received these. A lot of them are subject to discretionary funding and are, to that extent, they're fat targets when it comes to, or I should say slim targets in the case of many of them, that there isn't much there to begin with, but then whatever's left is being shot. So there are major limitations that are occurring in these programs, and uncertain support for sustaining public health and prevention initiatives. Public health and prevention initiatives have been represent low proportions of total amounts of dollars available, and they're seen, I think, in some eyes, as even easier to cut. Political antipathy. Certainly, we're well aware of this. Antipathy toward the law may thwart progress. In many states, I, coming from that that more progressive bastion of Texas, I can certainly speak to that. It's amazing. One of the stories I tell about Texas is when I was invited by the Health and Human Services Commission to come speak before them, and they said, well, I know what you do, but you can't use the Affordable Care Act in the title of your presentation. It was off limits. Why? Because they'd get in trouble. It's actually, I want to spend 30 seconds on this because there is a level of not only inertia, but imagine yourself a health professional in these settings. What happens is not only are you not supported, but you're probably in some cases frowned upon for supporting these efforts. So imagine a world where you're not only not given the resources, but should you try to find resources or try to promote actions, that you're running into people saying, what are you doing? This is not what we want you to do. So it's a terrible situation for a number of these folks. But so that antipathy is strong, and that's the cartoon is intended to capture the sense of, well, you know, it's what is this about? May cause sudden irritability, loss of sleep, drug commercial. No, it's an ad for Obamacare. So that kind of antagonism is not going to do much good in terms of promoting equity or the law. In states not expanding Medicaid, there are 2 million low-income diverse individuals who fall through the cracks. 60% of the uninsured African Americans are in states not expanding. So you have high numbers of diverse populations, diverse individuals who are in these non-expanding states. And 44% of the uninsured Hispanics are in states not expanding. We all well know about the undocumented immigrants that remain at the margins at best, if not just off the table and out of sight. And then misinformation and confusion among consumers who may be reluctant or not knowing what's going on in the first place. And then there's the language issues as well as the general misinformation and confusion that's really throwing things into even a further tizzy. I was walking down 42nd Street in Times Square just a couple of weeks ago, and this was the billboard on 42nd Street, warning Obamacare may be hazardous to your health, protect your health, defund Obamacare now. A big, huge 42nd Street, this is New York City, 42nd Street billboard. Time. Time is not on the side of equity in a lot of ways. It's relegated in some ways to a wait and see as efforts to implement the health insurance marketplaces take hold. Medicaid expansion efforts to expand Medicaid are involved. And the question is how much time goes on and energy goes in, how much is time and energy is left with regard to implementing these equity provisions at after all this effort is going to getting the exchanges off the ground. That's also been reflected in some of our conversations. Measurable outcomes in the short run. You know, there are requests from PCORI. If you're going to be getting a grant, that we need outcomes right away. Innovation Center, short-term outcomes. There's an effort to get information as soon as possible. That's a difficult task. And then cultivating partnerships and collaborations again take time. They're within the law to its merit. There's quite a bit of information or provision direction to encourage interagency, intersectoral collaborations. But the question is can you do this in a short time? These tend to take quite a while to build these relationships, especially to break down the silos. Equity, not a priority. We heard this over and over again at the insurance provisions taking center stage, likely to limit attention to equity and diversity, some being postponed. At the exchange, there's one quote, at the exchange, we have been so busy trying to get the operational aspects of the exchange going that we have had precious little time for health equity conversation. And then many minority health and underrepresented minority health professions, declining support. Cultural competence is clearly not a priority among many of these circumstances and settings and efforts. We have one quote from a key informant said, things like that are just simply not a priority. Cultural competency gets put at the very end. That's what's occurring currently. So it sets a scenario that does not show at least near-term promise to advance this agenda. And how to reframe equity in the context of mainstream priorities. You know, how can you insinuate, insert, and integrate equity into the common efforts that are being, or more common, more direct efforts that are ongoing now. So moving to 2014 and beyond, there is clearly this window of opportunity that's emerging related to the law. I mean, the law for all the challenges in implementation, it's clear that equity is one of the valves of the heart of this law. I mean, it's embedded, it's part of the law. And so the question is, can you continue to push to see about implementation of these equity provisions along with the other aspects of the law? We Nadia put up a slide about the different dimensions of the exchanges around equity must be integrated early on and be ongoing. We see it through these measurement, evaluation, community engagement, language services. From our work, it shows a framework for considering how equity can serve in a number of dimensions. Variation, marketplace, and implications for equity. What we're finding from our work is there seem to be three sets of states, sets of circumstances and scenarios that are evolving. You have the most progressive states, where both Medicaid expansion and state-run marketplace are in place and are now likely the sources of lessons learned, experience, knowledge, generally, not exclusively, where you can find information, you see adaptations and adjustments that will be made, and that's one of the tasks that we'll be tracking. And then there's another set of what we call somewhat progressive states. Medicaid expansion or state-run partnerships in the marketplace may be a more challenging political environment, maybe slower off the starting gate, but are still likely to be moving forward. And then the least progressive is opposed to the ACA with a federal marketplace and or no Medicaid expansion. And what it really means is this overcoming inertia and also there's a need to likely tailor interventions and tailor actions to the different kinds of scenarios. You just can't go in assuming that one size is going to fit all if you're starting in a state like Texas where it's still trying to figure out which end is up. I'll tell you one thing that's very interesting. We were talking yesterday about this, that for the first time now, we've been giving talks about this work across the country in states and nationally. And for the first time, we've started to get calls or emails from a few folks in Texas to say, could you come speak to us a little bit about this? First time. There's been no interest whatsoever to date other than these kind of oddball circumstances at the Texas Health and Human Services Commission, which was very much an exception to the rule. Addressing gaps in access and capacity to meet needs of growing diverse patient populations. This is where there are a whole set of issues around assisting in transition of the safety net. You can see down here on infrastructure support, actions to support care for remaining uninsured, monitoring, reassessing DSH payments based on what states are doing, and then tracking 1115 waiver innovation, which is what we're also involved with right now as it may relate to equity and the safety net. We'd also mention that as with the workforce support areas and others that I'll mention in here, that this is a prime role for foundations to be involved with. We're working with the San Francisco Foundation looking at Navigator programs and equity. We're working with the Blue Shield Foundation on the safety net and lessons learned for California. We're working with the Sierra Health Foundation in conducting community forums in the Sacramento region to inform and to disabuse folks of the distortions that have occurred within the law. Building ACA's equity community-based initiatives. This is, a strong point. There are a lot of points of equity within the law, and this through the community transformation grants, where 50% of the community transformation grants target African-Americans and Hispanic-Latino populations, and one in three target American Indians and Alaska Natives. So that tells you something about where the emphasis is being put on the community transformation grants. Offering direct role for philanthropy and private sector to leverage and expand, sustain, and evaluate community efforts. And then metrics monitoring and measurement, monitoring ACA programs for impact. This is something that again, is sometimes left off the table, a lot of times left off the table, but needs, in this case, desperately to show what the effect is. And then we are in the process, in that vein, of developing a report card to implement progress in marketplace initiatives for advancing race and ethnicity. So that framework that Nadia put up, we're using that with quite a bit of substance behind it to form the basis for a prototype for report cards for states to consider how to measure progress in implementing their marketplace equity-related initiatives. Community forums, state and local forums, and continued advocacy around key disparities priorities. Priorities like oral health are off the table when it comes to what was in the law and yet what has not been funded. Oral health disparities, so important and yet not part of what was moved to receive appropriations. Cultural competency education. Cultural competency is, again, generally left off the table. Minority health professions programs need to be revisited as well as in fusion. And to close, many provisions in place to advance equity, but time, dollars, launch challenges, misinformation, active and passive resistance to the law threaten to deflect the resources and delay or diminish the law's equity vision potential. So active advocacy efforts to keep an eye on a prize, keep this equity focus present and in the conversation, you know, as we move forward on other parts of the law. Thank you.